بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continue with this kitab, أصول الوصول. أصول الوصول, the treaties and the principles of التصوف. The path of Allah تبارك وتعالى, تزكية النفس, finding the love of Allah تبارك وتعالى. Last week we discussed that there are certain obstacles in the path of سلوك, which many a person is unaware of. So Hazrat says these are so excessively prevalent that indeed really is there a salik, one telling the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who has succeeded in not being ensnared by them. So these things block the path, they should not block the path to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So they shouldn't worry about these things. We'll just enumerate them quickly again. Firstly, there are those who are obsessed with the attainment of involuntary aspects, not within your capacity, but you want those things. That is a ni'mat and bounty from Allah as you carry on making mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. And those that will exert themselves, فِينَا, in the love of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they will carry on exerting themselves. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. Allah has promised definitely, most definitely, Allah will open paths towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So our effort is to make mujahada, to exert ourselves. Whether we feel or we don't feel, that this involuntary, that's left to the discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many a person is obsessed with involuntary aspects like joy, eagerness, absorption, pleasure, solitude, warding off of thoughts, flames of spiritual love, being attracted to special closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, natural love. So you feel these things aren't happening. So long I'm trying, I'm not feeling these things. And somebody else sitting next to him, sometime in i'tikaf, in Ramadan, iftari time, or in i'tikaf, or in umrah, or whatever program, that person is crying, shedding tears, enjoying, I'm not feeling anything. The person feels down, these are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ishqa tab'i, natural love. The error made is to consider these aspects as the fruit of dhikr. I think, how come I'm not feeling like this? I'm not progressing. Progress is in obedience to Allah. Not how you feeling, how Allah is feeling. Allah is pleased, alhamdulillah. Whether I feel anything or not, but if my Allah is pleased and happy, that is now وَرِضْوَانُ مِنْ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme, is the greatest thing. So the error made is to consider the aspects as the fruit of dhikr, shagal, spiritual exercises, and mujahadat, effort and endeavor. So if he's making mujahada, I'm pushing myself, spiritual exercises I found, ma'amulat I'm completing, but I don't feel joy, I don't feel inclination, I'm not feeling this, I'm not feeling that. What about your feeling? Is about being the slave of Allah and submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, this is today's discussion. Secondly, there are those who set out to eradicate. There are those who set out to eradicate, to remove some umure ghair ikhtiyariya. Like qabl, umure ghair ikhtiyariya refers to involuntary aspects, involuntary things. So it's involuntary, it's within your control. So there are those who set out to eradicate and remove this. But it's not within your reach. You can't do it. Allah will do it. But now he's fighting that battle and he's feeling I'm not overcoming it. So Hazrat gives the examples now. There are those who set out to eradicate, to remove some involuntary aspects like qabz, spiritual constriction. Spiritual constriction. I don't feel like doing it. I'm just feeling down. I'm not feeling comfortable. Is that opening up? Now I'm trying to fight that now. I'm trying to fight it. And I just can't. I'm just feeling more depressed. The spiritual constriction. Then, hujum-e khatarat, being assailed by numerous distracting thoughts. Being assailed and being disturbed by numerous distracting thoughts. Now he's trying to fight those thoughts. Thoughts you can't fight. That is said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. آمنت بالله ورسوله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم اجعل وساوس قلبي فشجك وذكرك. These du'as, beloved Sheikh, what are these du'as? When you're having this spiritual constriction or you're having these thoughts, distracting thoughts, then to read these du'as, only Allah can protect. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Ya Allah, I see protection in you from Shaitan, the accursed one. Ya Allah, I can't fight him. Only you can fight him. Shaitan has such an army, has very long life, and plenty of soldiers he has, plenty of shayateen. So they're all operating. Shaitan can run in insan's body like how blood flows. Allah Ta'ala has given him this strength. And he snares, he puts poison in the heart. So Allah Ta'ala has given him these things, so we can't fight him. We just hand him over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the thoughts will come in the person's mind, his khatarat will come. Now he's trying to fight it, he's trying to eradicate it. So these distracting thoughts, he hand it over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Amantu billahi wa rusuli. Then he reads this. That I have already believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rusulihi and all the anbiya. Have such high, valuable teachings and commands of Allah. How can I drop now to the level of shaitan and nafs? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no might and strength to refrain from evil and haram, except with the permission of Allah, and to do any good, except with the help of Allah. Ya Allah, only you can save me. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi. Wallah, make the wasawis and the whisperings of my heart. Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka. Ya Allah, make the whisperings of my heart a means of your fear. Khashyataka wa dhikrak, and your remembrance. So how beautifully Hazrat explains this dua also, that effectively you are making dua. Ya Allah, these whisperings that are going to my heart from nafs and shaitan, make this a means of hearing you more and remembering you more. So Hazrat says that what is actually happening, that these wasawis and these whisperings, shaitan is actually, he is giving you the ammunition to fire back at him. He's supplying ammunition, wasabis. What dua are you making, Ya Allah? Convert it to your fear and your remembrance. What shaitan will do? He said, I better give up here, I'm wasting my time. The more I'm putting, the more he's fearing Allah. The more he's remembering Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. This is dua to be read when there are distracting thoughts. Then a person, he sets out to remove dil na lagana, the heart feeling uninclined. My heart is not inclined. I don't feel like going for majlis. I don't like feel like going in the path of Allah. I should be doing it, but I'm just not. He said, opening up. Now he wants to fight these feelings. So the heart feeling uninclined, the natural love experience for wealth, that's natural. That feeling will be there. Allah Ta'ala has put it in insan, the love for wealth. But here, the Hazrat says that the love for wealth is not completely mazmoom, not completely haram. Because if you don't love dunya and wealth at all, then nobody will work. There'll be no food on the table. Yes, what is haram is when the love for wealth and dunya is 51%. And love for Allah is 49%. Now we got a problem. Now he loves dunya. And he loves something that is gonna come to an end. So the love of Allah must be 51%. The dunya 49%, no problem. Just slowly climb up and the love of Allah increase. And leave dunya where it's supposed to be. So here, Hazrat says that a person is fighting this, trying to eradicate the natural love experience for wealth or some individual, the predominance of natural desire or anger. So here also, as the Hakim Sahib Rahimullah would say, that sometimes a person's lust is too much, love for wealth is too much, he's overthinking, that even in his quiet moments he's thinking about dunya now, how to move this, how to open another shop, how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that. So this now when the dunya overtakes a person's mind or some love for some individual or natural desire, then to Zakim Sahib will say, Rahmatul Ali, don't even make this dua. Ya Allah, remove my lust and remove my desire for wealth also. He says, don't make these duas. Ya Allah, give me so much love for you that overpowers my lust and overpowers my love for dunya. Because if Allah Ta'ala accepts the dua of yours, Ya Allah, remove my lust, how are you going to get married? And if you married, you got a big problem now. You got no more desires. And no love for dunya also. What will happen? Tell the wife, I don't love dunya. Sit at home the whole day. Who's going to put food on the table? So there has to be some effort behind it. So they teach us how to balance our duas also. Allah, give me so much of your love that it overpowers my love for dunya and overpowers my lust and my desires. Anger also, as I said, anger isn't completely looked down upon. Anger, a person has to have anger. But that also has to be balanced. Hazrat says, now you can't be gade ki tarah. Like a donkey, don't feel anything. Anybody tells you, carry on smiling. You see, you must get angry at the right time. And in our situation, Hazrat says, Who we should get angry with? Me, myself, and I. Get angry with myself. Why you broke the command of Allah? Why you got angry when you're not supposed to get angry? Why you didn't perform your salah on time? There you must get angry, and there now you must discipline your nafs. But there we don't get angry. They want to prove you are right. It says this, if you don't take out your anger where it's supposed to go, then the anger will be taken out on who you're not supposed to get angry with. And it happens, you go home, tell the wife, you irritate me, had a bad day. But take out your anger somewhere else. Not on the wife, not on the children. And the wife will say, don't go near Abba, it doesn't look right right now. Right? You had a bad day. When you come home, this is where you get sukoon. And yes, the wife will tell you different things also. She will tell you different things. After long, she's seen you. So many things on her mind. She only can talk to you. There's nobody else she can tell. She can't tell the neighbor's husband. She'll tell you. You're the husband. So you must listen to everything. But don't take anything to heart. Don't take anything to heart. So anger also, as it says, you don't make dua, Allah, remove my anger. Ya Allah, you control my anger. Control my anger, because that says we need anger also. When it comes to jihad, then you can't go like one few cucumber now and say, you know what, just chai pilau, let's have some tea and some biscuits. They will talk what you say. No, they will pull our sleeves. He said, Ajao bhai. Madan mein, Ajao, we'll show you. Dikhayenge, hum kaun hai. He said, they will show you who we are. He says, anger has to be there. So anger is on its place also. Somebody now is swearing the deen of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your parents. And now you say, no anger. You've got to have anger at the right time, the right place. So it has to come out. So it doesn't come out on the right time, on yourself. Then you come out on the wife, you come out on the children, you come out on the staff. Because you're not, and it has to come out somewhere. Even youngsters, they have energy. There's so much of energy. Like in Darul Uloom also, you'll fight between Asr and Maghrib. It's a bit of a free time. So the boys, you go wild at time. They're playing ball and they're playing cricket and what, and they're jumping and they're shouting. The boarding is like one zoo now. And then too, Hazrat and the Asatiza and the Muhtami principles, they leave the boys. They say, be jawan hai, jawani hai. Because youth in them, it has to come out somewhere. The jungly tabiat has to come out. So better they in the boarding, let them play, let them jump, let them chase. They didn't have some fun. So in class now with control. Otherwise you find, it doesn't come out there, outside. Then we know, when we're in school, how it comes out in the class. That ustaz, the teacher must just leave and all of a sudden things are flying. So this must come out in the break time. So our kabir, they understand all the psychology of man when it comes to anger, when it comes to energy. So there's a time where it has to be contained and a time when it's left. So to eradicate anger, to eradicate the absence of tenderness in the heart. I see somebody, so much of muhabbat they got for his children, hugging them, kissing them, family. I say, I don't have this. I try to eradicate. Alright? So this night, so the absence of tenderness in the heart, the inability to shed tears. Now he's crying over that. He's crying over that he can't shed tears. So no, he's crying over it because he can't shed the tears anyway. But now he's making dua, Ya Allah, get the person, he just starts crying like that. I don't feel anything. My heart is so hard, Ya Allah. I can't shed tears. Yeah, there are asbab. There are reasons why sometimes a person cannot shed tears. That we'll discuss some other time, inshallah. But the inability to shed tears, the dominance of worldly grief, the things are affecting him. Some loss of dunya, whatever it may be. It's affecting him, the assertion of worldly fear. He fears now loss of life, loss of family, loss of wealth, living in this fear. Now he has to remove this. He feels that this is against taqwa. Now you see what happens when you don't know what is deen, then you think this is part of deen. And years are coming out now thinking, I haven't reached anywhere. But these things are not within your choice. That Allah Ta'ala will change it. They consider the presence of these states as harmful to the path and obstacles to attaining the objective. They consider the presence of these states as harmful to the heart. What are the states? As we mentioned now, that he has spiritual constriction and then he has distracting thoughts. The heart feels uninclined. The natural love experience for wealth or some individual, the predominance of natural desire or anger, the absence of tenderness in the heart, the inability to shed tears, the dominance of worldly grief, the assertion of worldly fear. If it's all these things are obstacles in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now his whole life is fighting these things. This he must leave. This he don't have to leave. You see, in our tariqah, economic only. This is very unfortunate situation. You see, in the Zakim Sahib Rahimullah would explain so beautifully. He would say that if your backyard has turned into a bush, left it very long for a big yard, and now finally you decide, you know what, I have to clean it out. And the grass has gone long, and you don't know what's in there right now. What kind of insects, reptiles could be harmful? So, as I was saying, one of two ways to clean it out. One of two ways to clean it out. One is now you buy one suit, right? How they go for honey farming, right? The bees don't sting you. Buy one like that now, and you take some petrol, some diesel. Sorry, you put the whole suit on, and now you come with your lawnmower, right? Saturday afternoon, tell the wife, I'm going into the bush. Here's my will, here's the wasiyat. If I don't come out, Muslim, I'm gone. But that's one way of doing it. Now, whether you come out alive, Allah knows best. Other way is now, you just put some paraffin, you put some diesel a little bit, control fire, you light it, and you wait there with your fire extinguisher. And what will happen? All the snakes, scorpions, insects, all will flee. And you got a clean out garden all of a sudden. So Zakim Sahib will say, Rahimahullah, in the same way that the heart has become a bush, all these insects, all these reptiles, all these things are biting at me, biting me. I want to sort it out now. Hey, I try, it flood me now. I slipped again, and I fell again, and I fell again. Just can't. He said, don't fight it. He said, all you have to do, just find Allah wala, that he has the diesel in his hand, and he's got the match, and the flame of Allah's muhabbat, let him light it. Control fire. Let him light it and say, right, start burning. And everything will just leave. Say, Allah, the bad habits I had. It's gone to 50%, now 25%, now 10%. Allah can't believe it. Before I was chasing, now I'm no more chasing. It's chasing me now. And now I'm not looking for contracts and more are coming. How is this happening? Now, you see, this is the way to do it. Like in the Chistiyah, the tariqah that we use, although we are bay'at in all four silsilas, but the Islahi tartib of Islah, how we make Islah is a Chistiyya way. Other ways are different, like Naqshbandiya, etc., where they make the khalli first. First you come, remove all the akhlaqi razila, all the evil habits, bad qualities, etc. That all must be worked upon. And then the Shaykh will give you dhikr. Now you beautify yourself. The Chistiyya tariqah is different. Well, Kabir worked differently because you saw a weakness. Yaqim Sahib Rahimullah, he said the weakness of the Ummah of South Africa. Here you grew up. You grew up on all sweet things. Nothing plain, everything is sweet. The houses, the cars, the food, everything is sweet. Right? And all haram things you're listening to. So therefore, Yaqim Sahib Rahimullah made the zikr also sweet and melodious. Otherwise, before it was a heavy illallah. He says, now if you're going to give you all that zikr, first of all, the food you'll eat has no nutrients in there. You're going to shake your head like that, you might lose your mind. So make it sweet. Because your people's hearts are attracted to sweet things, the melodious things. Was that made it? So it was Hakim. It was very wise. So he made it sweet. It attracted the heart. So in the Chistiyya tariqah, then the ulama use first, that first you make tajliya. First you beautify the heart with dhikr. You put the murid in the dhikr. Start with 10, 20, 30. Get the taste of it. Get the taste of it. Now he begins to enjoy it. Take the name of Allah. And he learns how to take the name of Allah. How to make the zikr. What to think during zikr. Now he's ready for that moment. Now sometimes he might not make it, but he's conscious, you know, I must make my zikr. And at that time, register your feeling. And see how you feel at that time. So much sukoon I feel. I don't care about anything right now. I'm just making my zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, it makes so much of decoration of the heart and beautifying the heart so much, and the evil qualities leave on their own. Like how you go in the path of Allah. They say in Jamaat, you are doing from the evil. Only command good. Yes, it's also the Chistiyya tariqa. But you should forbid the evil. He says, no, we do it in a certain way. Because we know somebody loves something, and you want to take it away from him, what is he going to do? He's going to fight you. You get more stubborn. It happens. So what do you do? You give him something better. How Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, that now the mother doesn't understand the masla, murat, surat. Now she bought something for the children. Buy some doll, some teddy bear, some murat thing. Now you came. What since you bought? You don't know it's haram. Don't give bayan there. He says, whatever she bought, you go buy something better, but Sharia compliant. And that haram thing, quietly you hide it away. So she won't say, see, children can't have fun also. You stopped all the fun and everything. Just one way mind you got. No, he said, go buy something better. Now, she said, children are going next door. They're going to watch TV there. All right, why don't you buy us a TV? I said, Hakim Sahib said, don't fight with her. I said, okay, how much is the TV? 10,000, 20,000, no problem. He said, don't become a miser. 20,000 for the TV, all right. I'll save up and give it to you. Give her the 20,000. You can buy some gold bangles, you can buy TVs. She's not going to go to macro. She's going to jewelry shop. I better look at my bangles and keep the children busy. So, this, as Hakim Sahib understood psychology of insan. This is how insan thinks. So don't take it away. So in this way, when you go in the path of Allah, you say, sit the person in ta'lim. Let him listen to ta'lim, the virtue. Say, I must do these things. Now the time he was using for haram, now he's changed something halal, something enjoyable. And slowly all the evil habits will leave. Now he's busy with gush, busy with ta'lim, busy with zikr, after asr, after. This person became a wali of Allah in tedious. How that happened? Barakat of ta'lim. So he didn't tell him, by leave that. Don't do this. He said, just do this. Just do this. Just do this. So his time is getting preoccupied with the right things. So the evil things will leave him automatically. So many Ash'ari consider the presence of the states as harmful to the path and obstacles to attaining the objective. Or not being able to eradicate these states, they consider this to be the basis of distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That these things are still in my life. So I don't have the connection with Allah. Doesn't realize when this crying of his, he's become the beloved of Allah. But now he's ready to feel something. But in that crying, he hasn't realized also that I've become obedient to Allah now. And as it mentioned also, that one of the objectives of this path is to become conscious of my Islah. It's an objective. And I become conscious now. Before I never worried. Who I said what, how I said it, how I spoke to the wife, the children, the father. I don't care about anybody. Anybody comes in front, I don't care who it is. I do what I want, then I'm wealth how I want to. Now I'm more conscious right now. It says now, that's one of the objectives, that now you become aware. These then are the two factors wherein, by and large, the Ahlul Suluk, the people of Suluk, treading the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and entrapped. The common denominator in both these cases is the obsession. Is the obsession umure ghair ikhtiyariya. Involuntary matters. He's obsessed with that. So within your control to eradicate these things. Who'll do it? Allah will do it. You do what you have to do. All these things, you can't remove it. Allah will remove it through His Qudrat. Whether the underlying quest is attainment or eradication. Attainment or you want to attain something or you want to eradicate something. So whether the underlying quest is attainment or eradication, this obsession with matters involuntary is inclusive of numerous evils. His mind get caught up in these things. Now what are you supposed to be doing? You're not doing. You're worried about all these things over here. Among them is the evil related to i'tiqad, belief. Because in adhering to this obsession, it will hinder the belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul with that which it cannot bear. So he's thinking now, how much more I'm going to carry on with these things now? Can't handle it anymore. Still slipping. Is that in your control? You do what you have to do at the right time. Only Allah will pull you out. The Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentioned also. He says, I'm not of the opinion to give people a lot of wazifas. Read this wazifa, not from Quran and Hadith. Right? He says, some people also, I don't give them Quran and Hadith wazifas also. Because if it doesn't work for them now, then they say, hey, this Quran is not working. The Hadith is not working. He says, I put them onto obedience of Allah. First you become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, he'll lose his trust even in Quran and Sharif and Hadith Sharif also. And if the Shaykh gives him only wazifa, wazifa, then wazifa didn't work, then wazifa didn't work, then he loses trust in the Shaykh also. You see, no wazifa is working over here. Then what happens after that, you saw. Some brothers, when the wazifas don't work, they, where they'll go? You go some other place now. To some people that have incorrect aqidah and belief, they say, no, you're going to feed this type of food, some khichdi and some kheer, then you're going to come to the riverside, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. That one, they worked. Hey, that one worked, powerful, that one was. You see? But there is a Quran hadith. Sometimes it's not even deen also. So, shaitan will zuyin, Allah will beautify it. Hey, this is going to work, this is going to work. The Talmud says, I put a person in obedience of Allah. Worship Allah with muhabbat and love. Now when you have muhabbat and love for Allah, whether things worked out or not in your control. But my thing is working out with Allah. Now I got my Allah. I'm obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that opened up, or that didn't open up, or that got eradicated, whether I achieved or not, I just got my taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since the acquisition or eradication is non-voluntary, it is beyond the pale of human endeavor because capacity entails both the ability to do and act or leave it undone. And thus the inability to acquire that which is beyond choice. Something is beyond you, but you want it. It's beyond choice. Now he wants that. It's beyond his choice. And endeavor necessitates the converse inability to leave that which is beyond choice and endeavor. Similarly, that which cannot be eradicated by choice and endeavor can conversely not be attained voluntarily. That is very technical if you... After Isha already, brothers, just bear with me. Both acquisition and eradication are beyond the pale of human toil and effort. Both acquisition, to acquire something or to eradicate something, is beyond the capacity of insan. You can't remove anything, nor can you attain anything. You just want slave. What eradicated? Allah. Like how was it? Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimullah would say, when you go to somebody's house, he's got a pit bull terrier. He's got a pit bull, right? The dog. Huh? They tear you apart. Now he says, you know what, now I need to get to the door there, but now I'm going to go to this gate, this dog is here. So now he folds his sleeves, he says, A'uzun, and he's going now. Right, read his kalima. He says, but I don't do that. Here's the bell, just ring the bell. Ring the bell, the owner will come take the dog away. Why, you know, fight the dog. So to eradicate this kutta and dog of nafs, you can't do it. Shaitan also, you can't do it. So, Mufti Mahmud Sahib will say, all you got to say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. Ya Allah, you too. May kamzor banda hu. Ya Allah, I'm a weak thing. What I can do? And whatever I'm doing also is by your fazal, your karam. I can't do anything. So, acquisition and eradication, to acquire something, to eradicate something, is beyond human's capacity, as I say, beyond the pale of human toil and effort, beyond human capacity. The Salik has considered, the Salik, the one sitting in the path of Allah, has considered both involuntary matters to be the foundation of the objective commandments issued. He thinks now that his involuntary things is actually something to achieve. Alright, how many people feel now that I have to get to that level. That now, like how Zakim Sa mentioned also, that some people feel now that if you can fly, hey, what a wali of Allah is flying. He says flying now is a criteria to be a wali of Allah. The Hazrat says, the fly is a big buzruk. Mm-hmm. Because he's flying the whole day. You see, insan is flying, he'll become like one fly also. You say, what is there? So a lot of the people feel that if you achieve these things over here, right, then now you're a wali of Allah. Not necessarily, people are seeing dreams, or I can see something, or he can see something. Not necessarily, like Mu'inuddin Chisti rahmatullah alayh. He also, when he came to India, he showed a lot of karamats, because of which many people became millions of more, two to 4 million people became Muslim upon his hands, chasing karamats. It was alhamdulillah, but that too, this karamats now grips the heart, you know, see some out of the world things. My Hazrat or my Shaykh or the said person show karamats. So not necessarily. The karamat, Hazrat says, the biggest karamat and the biggest miracle is istiqamat. To be steadfast. That's a karamat. Every day to be there for Salah on time, Takbir-e Ula, that's a karamat. You there. That's Allah's fazal also. So, Mu'inuddin Chisti Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to India, And he came to the palace of the king. He was on a big idol called Buddha. Right, standing there by the entrance, the flight of stairs. So he wanted water to make wudu. He had his lota in his hand. So he told the khadim of the king, Hindu, give me some water. The king said, no water for you. He said, no water for me. No problem. Yo Buddha, bring some water for me. So that idol came walking to him. He all got a shock. He became Muslim. He became Muslim. Then one padri came. He's a Hindu padri. They do all these mujahadat and walk on fire and all these ajibaji things they do. So they call on two padris to Imam Musa alayhi salam, call them magicians. So they started flying in the air. So he looked at them. So he took out his chapel. And he said, Ungu gerado. Go and drop them down. The chapel flew up and whacked them and brought them down. He said, oh, he's a bigger padri. On that now, they became, more became Muslim. One thing too, then the disciple Asar Namaz, they had him locked up on corner there in the jungle, so they cut off the water supply. So then he told them, it is one glass water, only one glass water. So they make him the mashwara, one glass he can't make wuzu, give him one glass, no problem. But they allowed him. So he put his glass in the river and he scooped all the water in one glass. But there was no water left. So then too they became Muslim. So like this, he went through the whole of India. Muslims became Muslim like that. Now a person feels now to become on Buzruk, I got to do things like this now. I got to do things like this. Make that idol walk and do this and do all of that. It is self-evident that the foundation, the basis of acting upon the commandments of Allah are themselves commands. Acting upon the command of Allah is a command itself. I must fulfill the command of Allah. The Shalik has thus considered the acquisition and eradication of these aspects as intrinsic commands. For an entity to be established as compulsory or commanded, the command of Allah for it to be established, or anything to be established as a command, it has to be reinforced by revelation. Then this is a command. Allah Ta'ala give the command that you must remove this non-inclination or this restriction within my heart. No. Allah gave the command simple, perform namaz. Read your Quran Sharif. Don't disobey Allah. Now see, my mind is into heavy things now. Right? I need to remove this and I need to. Who gave the command for that? Nobody gave the command. So it has to be reinforced by nas, by revelation. This includes the ahadith, which are also a form of revelation. And since these matters are involuntary, it is as if he has subscribed to the belief that to act upon injunctions does not require the capacity to do so. He's got his own set of commandments in his mind. Right? That even I don't have the capacity, but I still have to do it. But Allah says, only if you have the capacity, I haven't commanded you beyond your capacity. This is thus clearly in opposition to the revelation of Quran Sharif, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah will not make you responsible for anything which is beyond your capacity. And is manifest error. The second ill is completed. The second ill is relative to practice. Since such matters are involuntary. Which matters are we talking about? That a person love is constricted, spiritual rapture, zok and desire, inclination, tenderness of the heart, shedding tears, the love for dunya, has anger. Now if he's have to eradicate these things, and this thing becomes an obstacle between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since such matters are involuntary, they will neither be attained by effort and endeavor, nor will they be eradicated thereby. The individual plagued by this error will endeavor to either acquire or eradicate them. His inevitable failure in attaining this unattainable goal will only add to frustration. How come I can't get over it? Why? I'm still slipping. Because the benchmark is too high. You made it too high for yourself. You must take your pace, and as you will get there, you will get there. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, 13 years of tarbiyat in Makkah Mukarramah, right, under the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 13 years of iman yaqeen, iman yaqeen, iman yaqeen. For 13 years, hijab only became fard in Madina Munawwara. Only then. Right, alcohol drinking only became haram in Madina Munawwara. Hajj only became fard now in the 8th year of hijrah, that time only. Salah only became fard in the 10th year, after 10 years. Now salah came. Right, that salah also was very easy salah, where they could talk, they could walk around, or you could look around. Then it evolved in Madina Munawwara till we have Salah now. In the beginning it was very light, that even
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. You know, believers don't come for salah whilst you are intoxicated. But they were still drinking and coming for namaz. Then Allah Ta'ala gave the command, intoxicated, get sober first and come for salah. So it was taken easy, easy, easy. I've got my mark so high already. By now I should be so high. Yes, you reach your goal, but you should not become frustration. You know, it's not for me this thing now. I don't think I can do this. You know, I don't fit in this. But we have to make islah, it's first, we have to make the effort till more than Allah Ta'ala will only eradicate these things. So his inevitable failure in attaining this unattainable goal will only add to frustration, depression and dejection day by day. Sometimes he's feeling elated, feeling good, alhamdulillah, you know, it's whole week went well, whole month went well. And he enters home, wife says, you're still the same. I just thought I read somewhere. And I just said one thing, all happened, just came out like that. I said, you'll never change. Oh, it just hits. I thought, now I got somewhere. And she gave me the same old curveball. You'll never change. You'll never change. And now I hit his pride now. Now I really hit his pride. Then you realize, hey, I thought I was somewhere. Now he just pulled me over. Really, I am nothing. I am nothing. Allah Ta'ala makes Islah in this manner also. So depression and dejection day by day will set in. The results of this despondency and frustration that will follow are listed. What will happen thereafter, this is the entire thing. Therefore, the salik, the one moving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must just do what he has to do. And to eradicate these things, to eradicate these things and to achieve and to acquire, the easiest way which Quran says is kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Zakim sahib rahimahullah will say this is the easiest way. Just to stay with the pious, your inclination of haram will just disappear. You know, 3 days, 4 days, the pious people, I don't feel this thing anymore. Can't believe it. I can't believe it that I'm not even thinking about it also. This is just, and then to Ruhul al-Ma'ani ala Malusi rahmatullah alayhi says that kunu ma sadiqin means khalituhum. Khalituhum ala jana. Come and go, come and go. Come and go, khalituhum ikhtilaq. Carry on. Make ikhtilat with them, لِتَكُونُوا مِثْلَهُمْ, so that you may become like them. So that you may become like them. So you carry on moving, in and out, sitting, listening, carrying on, as though you rub on. So you don't realize, you know, the color is coming. What you call the fuyuz, the barakat of the friends of Allah, that barakat comes, and that fuyuz, and the color comes, and then you realize, you know what, that now, all these habits are gone. They don't have that inclination. Sometimes nafs will come also in between. As I said, as you become more pious, don't think the nafs gets weaker, gets stronger. He says, as you get older and more closer to Allah and dearer to Allah, the nafs gets even more stronger. The nafs doesn't get weak. The nafs does get, people think, I become pious, nafs won't trouble me. It'll trouble you even more. It'll trouble you even more, but by that stage already, the nafs becomes mutma'inna. Radiyatan marziya. To the extent that the awliya understand that, Ya Allah, I can't save myself, I'm your banda. And when the slave is in trouble, who pulls him out? The master. Ya Allah, the slave is going to get in trouble now. Ya Allah, you save him. He says the nafs gets stronger, but Allah's help also gets stronger. So, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. Allah says, understand, Allah Ta'ala becomes the barrier between himself and his own heart. Heart is going towards that direction away from Qibla, Allah becomes the barrier. Bring him this way. Bring him this way. So he says, we understand as we get older, then you really understand, Ya Allah, I did nothing. It's only your fazl, fazl rahmani, that you saved me, and you saved me, and you saved me. Allah makes a fazl. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshaAllah.